Begin the current daf Masechtas Menachas daf Ayin Ches. Begin 10 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of the previous Mishnayos, the topic of this Perek, HaToida HaZavah, which talks about the Lachme Toida, the breads that come with the Karban Toida. Similarly, says the Mishnah, there are different Karbanas that had similar to the Karban Toida in regards to the breads. Says the Mishnah, HaMiluim, the inauguratory services that were in the days of Moshe when they had put together the Mishkan, Hayboin kematza shebetoida. They brought bread offerings like the matzah, like the unleavened breads that came with the carbon toida, which the Gemara is going to explain how do we know this from. But what does this refer to? There's actually four breads, as we mentioned, regarding the toida. Three out of the four are matzah. Those are the three types that were by the miluim by Moshe Rabbeinu. There are the chalas, there are the unleavened loaves, we're kicking the unleavened wafers, revucha, and those that are scalded, those are burnt in hot liquid. Now, naziris, there are lachmi nazir, the nazir, the one who took a vow not to partake of any wine, when he has his concluding services, he has to bring breads, as the pasuk says, of sal matzis, salas chalas, or kikim matzah. So, as the pasuk actually indicates, he had only 2/3 of the matzah that was by the toida. As the Mishnah explains, chalas v'rikikin ve'im b'revucha. He brought the loaves and the wafers, but he didn't have the scalded flour offering of matzah. So nimsa, so it comes out that by Naziris, there was a sara kavan Yerushalmius. We're regarding the miluim, so we said that that's 15, which is actually because, as we said in the previous Mishnah, there was 30 Yerushalmius by the Taida, which half went to the chametz and half went to the matzah. So that was there by the miluim. But regarding to the nazir, who he only had 2/3 of the matzah ones, comes out that he had 10 kavan Yerushalmius, because by the matzah the Taida was 15 kavan. So it comes out that 2/3 of 15 is 10 kavan Yerushalmius, Shehen Shisha Esroinis Vaidayan, which that comes out to 6 Isarin. So Isarin is a 10th of an Eifa, as we described in the opening Mishnah, these transactions, where there's 3 Esroinis and a 3rd for every type, times 2, comes out to 6, and that's what these Viiduyim and more means in 2/3 of an Isarin for the total of the 2 of them. Whereas we explained previously regarding the matzah by the Taida, since there was 10 Esroinis for the 3 types of matzah, so it comes out that 2/3 of that is going to be 6 esrainis and 2/3 of an isarin. Which, that was regarding the isarin, then in the measurement of kavan, which they had in the times of the Talmud, therefore it was defined in the different measurements that of kavan. Now, the Gemara asks, Manan, immediately, where do we know this from, that by the miluim, they were brought chalas, rekikin, and revucha? And that's specifically the primary question that the Gemara is having, because regarding the first two types, chalas and rekikin, it says that in the pasuk. So the question is regarding the chalat, the one that was scalded, how do we know that? So Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Chama bar Guri, it says, because Amar Kra, the pasuk says of a yikra, it says, Misal ha-matzah sashel levnei Hashem, this is told by the miluim services, when Moshe Rabbeinu put together the Mishkan. From the basket of the unleavened breads, the matzahs that were in front of Hashem, lakach chalas matzah achas, to take one loaf of matzah, v'chalas lechem shemen achas, and one loaf of the oily bread, v'rokach echad, and one wafer. So says the Gemara, bishle machalas, or understand when the reference to chalas, the loaves, is chalas, is what we know to be when we always talk about the loaves. Rokach, the wafer, is rokach, is the wafer. Shemen ma'ininu, what's the other loaf called, the oily bread? Lav revucha, isn't that referring to the revucha? And the reason why it's called the oily bread is because actually the revucha has the amount of oil equivalent to what is in the total of the chalas and rekikin. So since it has a lot of oil equivalent to the other two, that's why it's called the oily bread. So obviously that's the reference to it, and that's how we know that in the miluim there was chalas, rekikin, and revucha. But on that interpretation, Maskele Rav Avi says, but ema anta de mishra, how do you know it refers to the revucha? Maybe what does it mean, the oily bread? It actually means a cake of congealed oil. Maybe that was that it was a cake, it was a loaf of oil, literally just of oil, not of flour. So how do you know that it refers to the revucha? So Eli rather says the Gemara, the sources can dash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda Mishmid Rav Tavla. Pasuk says in Meyikra as follows, it says, Zeh carbon Aaron avanam, this is the carbon, the sacrifice of Aaron and his sons, Ashe Ekrivul Hashem, which they should bring near to Hashem, b'yayim him ashach esay, on the day that he's anointed. Now the question to interpret this pasuk is, V'chi yimad l'manu l'banav, what are we actually learning out to the sons of Aaron, meaning for future generations, b'yayim him ashach, on the day that he's anointed, meaning, what are we learning out from the day that Aaron HaKohen was anointed? What does it have to do with his sons? What is the pasuk referring to when it's saying, this is the carbon for Aaron and his sons? What does the sons have to do when the day when Aaron HaKohen became anointed? Ella, rather, says the Gemara, Makesh Chinuche, what it's doing is that it's equating the inauguration of a common Kohen, which is for future generations, what we mean when we mean the sons of Aaron, Lehimashche, to the anointing of the Kohen Gadol, who is Aaron HaKohen, which is when he starts bringing his chavitin, which is his flower offering he brings every single day from the day that he's anointed as a Kohen Gadol. So what are we comparing? Mahi Mashchei, just like the anointing of Aaron, which is from that point on he starts bringing, because he's now the Kohen Gadol, a chavitin is his mincha flower offering that he brings every single day, which is revucha, as the pasuk says, murbechas tevienna. The chavitin is scolded, is that type of a mincha. So Avchinuch, it's equating to his sons, also the inauguration of his sons, regular kahanim, from that point on, when they get the inauguration, it's revucha, it's going to be scolded. Now the miluim was a day of inauguration of all the kahanim for the first time of ever serving. So if that's the day that they're having their inauguration, any kohen of service that day, so that's how we know it's going that there had to have been in that day revucha, because we compare chinuchay of a regular kohen to the yimashach of a kohen gadol, which the yimashach of a kohen gadol is when he starts bringing the chavitin, which is revucha. So too chinuchay, and the imilum was chinuchay, and that's how we know that besides the other two of the chalas were kikin, there was also revucha. Now continuing on this halacha, Amar Rav Chisdi says, kohen gadol hamaskarv la'avoda, regarding kohen gadol that he's coming near to do that avoda for the first time after that he was anointed to be the kohen gadol, he has to bring 2/10, 2 esrainis of an eifa, which is essentially like 2 menachas. Generally, his mincha is 1 esarin. He has to bring 2. Why? Achas lihimashchei. One has to be because now he was anointed to be a kohen gadol, which we said is when he starts bringing his chavitin. But achas lichinucha, he has to bring another one for his inauguration, because now he was inaugurated to start doing that avodah as a kohen gadol. And we said by chinuch, when someone starts doing that avodah like he was by milum, you also have to bring it. So therefore, he has to bring 2. One for the chavitin, and one because it's his chinuch as doing that avodah. Now, Mabar Avashi, I mean, he says sholich, he has to bring 3 esrainis of an eifa. Says the Gemara of Lei Pligin, they're not disagreeing. Ha, this that we said that you only need 2 is the Avod Avodah Kishu Kohen Hedid. He had already been doing the Avodah when he was a regular Kohen. Now he got promoted to be the Kohen Gadol. So now he has to just bring for his Chinuch as doing the Avodah as a Kohen Gadol, and for the Himashach for bringing the Chavitin. Ha, Duloy Avod Avodah Kishu Kohen Hedid. Mab Rav Ashi that said that you have to have 3 was talking about that he hadn't ever done Avodah in his life, not as a Kohen Hedid. And now when he's becoming the Kohen Gadol, it's the first time he's doing Avodah at all. So one has to be for his chinuch for the avodah as a regular kohen hedid, which is the regular service that he's doing now as a kohen gadol. But the second one has to be for his chinuch for now doing the avodah, a special type of avodah of a kohen gadol. And the third one is for the chavitin, which he has to bring every single day, b'yom himashach, from the day that he becomes anointed for being the chavitin kohen gadol. That's why you have to, in that situation, bring 3 esrainis on that day. Now that was regarding the milum, as we said in the Mishnah. It had the 3 types of matzah v'taydah. But the Mishnah said, Naziris, regarding a Nazar, Haisabosh, Deyodis Kematzah Shebetayda, and etc., where he brought 2/3 of the matzah ones, which is that he only brought Chalas and Rekikin, and not Revucha. So the source for this says the Gemara, turn up on Melitna Braisa. It says in the Pasuk by Toida, it says the word Shlomov. Now the word Shlomov seems to be superfluous over there. What is that actually coming to tell us? What does it mean, Yakrav Karbana Al Zevach Toida Shlomov? L'rabba Shalmei Nazir is coming to include a different carbon, that of a shlam, specifically the shlam that a Nazir brings, which is to tell you, La'seres Kavan Yerushalmi is to say that, as we'll shortly bring the source for that, that he has to bring, similar like to the Taida, the breads, but in this case only 2/3 of that, which are 10 Jerusalem Kavan of flour, Ulervia Shemen, and therefore because of that, only 1/4 of a lug of shemen, because by a taida there was a chatzi lug, a half of a lug. Now that half was split into 2. One half was used for the revucha, and the other half was used for the chalas and the rikikin. As the Gemara says later on, Perek Shtei Midas. So in this situation, where we're saying that the nazir has only 2/3 of the matzah of the taida, which are the chalas and rikikin, so therefore he only had 1/4 of a lug, because by naziris, since you only have chalas and the rikikin, so the revucha was the other half of the half, which is therefore 1/4 of the shemen, which again is the 2/3 of the matzah of the taida. That's why he had only a revius of shemen. Now the Braisa explains. Now, yachal l'kol masha'am ha'b'inyan, but you would think that actually, no, if you're comparing Shlamav, which is Shalmei Nazir, to the Karban Taida, whatever it says during that context, which is not only the Chasner Kikim, but maybe also the Revucha, maybe not Chametz, but maybe all the Matzah ones would require, including the one Revucha. How do we know it's only two-thirds? Tamalema, that's what the Pasuk teaches by the Nazir, it says, and that a basket of matzahs. And that's how we know that it was only the Chalas and Rekika. That is the Gemara, my Talmudah. What are you learning out from the word mimatzahs? From the word matzahs, how is that excluding the Revucha? The Revucha was also matzah, was also unleavened. How do you know to exclude that, the Revucha? So my Papa says, what it means to say is, Davishinemba by matzahs, something that it says in the Pasuk that is called matzahs, is what is required for the Sal of the matzahs of the Nazir. But that's coming to exclude the scalded matzah, the scalded mincha, which it doesn't say the word matzahs, because by Taid it says the following word, it says, chalis matzahs, v'rikikim matzahs, and then, b'seilis murbechas chalis balulis bashema, which refers to the revucha, it's murbechas. There, by revucha, it doesn't say the word matzahs. So therefore, that's what's saying by Nazir. Only those who said matzahs, which is chalis rikikin, requires by Nazir, but revucha that doesn't say matzahs is not required. Now, another interpretation, the Beir Bishmol Tana says, no, look at the pasuk that it says by the Nazir. It says matzis, which is a klal, a general terminology. And it says chalas v'rkikin, which are prat, those are specifics. That's all it says. So that's called a klal a prat, a general statement and specifics. Ein b'chlal al mashav prat. Then you only have in the general statement what's included in the specific, which chalas v'rkikin in, which are only chalas v'rkikin, midach rin aloi, nothing else. And that's how we know that by the Nazir it was only chalas v'rkikin and not the revucha. That's why we said it was two-thirds of the matzahs of the Torah. Now, continue to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues, regarding this topic of our parak, regarding the lachmei Torah, the breads of the carbon Torah, of the Thanksgiving offering. So the Mishnah says, if someone slaughters a Karban Taida in the area that it's supposed to be, meaning in the Azara, but the breads are out of the wall, says the Mishnah, then Lakidish Alechem, as we've said before, the sanctification of the bread is contingent on the slaughtering of the animal. Here, where it's not with it's supposed to be the breads, it's out of the wall, so therefore it does not become sanctified during the slaughtering of the Karban Taida. So to shachta actually karma panel betano. Let's say the carbon taida was slaughtered before the breads had a chance to be be crusted on the outsides. So at that point in time, it's not bread yet. It's just considered like dough because it didn't become hard on the outside. Then vafila karma kulan chutz mi echad mehen. Even if all the breads became hard on the outside besides one of them, lakidish alechem, the breads had not become sanctified because it wasn't yet all the breads of the taida, and therefore it does not become sanctified with the slaughtering of the taida. Now, clarifying the halacha of our Mishnah, the Gemara says, "My chutz lechem." What does it mean that the breads were out of the wall? So it's actually machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Amar chutz lechem is beis pagi. He says it was out of the walls of beis pagi, which Rashi here in Ksav Yad translates what that means to say is out of the outer wall of Yerushalayim, meaning outside of Yerushalayim. Meshlakash Ami says no chutz lechem is azara. It means out of the walls of the courtyard of the beis hamikdash, meaning it could be in Yerushalayim, it could be in Har Bayis. It's just out of the walls of the azara. The Gemara explains the reason for their machlekes. Resh Lakish amachutz lochem es azar, it's already problematic, it's already not going to be sanctified with the slaughtering of the Toida if it's just out of the walls of the courtyard, because bi'inan al, which means besamach. When the Pasuk talks about the slaughtering, it says on the chalas of lechem chametz, you'll slaughter the carbon of the carbon Toida. What does it mean al? It means al doesn't just mean on, it means nearby. And therefore, it means to say it has to be in the Azar. If it's already out of the Azar, it's already not nearby, and it's not going to be sanctified with the slaughtering of the carbon. Now, Rabbi Yechon Ami says, no, chutz lechem is pagi. It's only problematic if it's out of the wall on the outside of Yerushalayim. Av chutz la'azar kadosh, if it's just out of the courtyard, it will be sanctified. V'leib in an al besamach, you don't need to have al, meaning that it should be nearby. Meaning, although it says, v'hikrev al zevach ha'toyde chalas, that you're going to slaughter on the carbon toyde the chalas, you don't expound according to Rabbi Yechon, al means besamach has to be nearby, which is that has to be literally near it in the Azara. Rather, it could even be out of the Azara as long as it's within the space of Yerushalayim, because being in Yerushalayim is not a problem of what's called a psul of Yaitze. Generally, take kachem out of the Azara, it becomes pasuk because it left the area, because the karban toida and his breads are able to be eaten in the whole city of Yerushalayim. So as long as within Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Yechon, that's going to be valid, it's going to be sanctified. Now the Gemara asks, but v'fligu b'chad ha-zimna, they already had the same achleik as Rabbi Yechon Shlakish somewhere else, why do you have to say it here if it's the same idea? The Mishnah tells us, HaShecheres HaPesach Al HaChametz, if someone slaughters the Karban Pesach while he still is in possession of Chametz, so even B'leis to say, as the Torah says, Le'ishishchat Al Chametz, Dam Zivchi, you're not allowed to slaughter the Karban Pesach when you still have Chametz. So therefore he violates a negative prohibition. Rabbi Huda, he says, Afa Tamid, he says, even if it's during the slaughtering of the Tamid Shalbein Nabayim, the evening daily sacrifice on the Erev Pesach, as the Gemara Masech B'sachim explains his opinion. But Vamir Shlakish, he qualifies and he says, La'ilim ein achai, but the liability of having chametz while slaughtering the Karm Pesach or the Karmer Tamid is only Achiyehei, only when there's going to be chametz, Oyla Sheikhet, Oyla Zark, either to the one who slaughters it or to the kohen who throws the blood, Oyla Echad Menechabura, or for one of the people of the members of that group of that Karm Pesach that has Imay Ba'azara, that has with him chametz in the courtyard. Because, as we said, Rish Lakish holds al, where it says in the pasuk that you now have al chametz dam zivchi, to have on the chametz to do the slaughtering of the Karban Pesach, is means nearby, only if he has it in the azar. Rabbi Yechonam, and he says, no, afa pisha enimoy bazar. Even if he doesn't have it in the courtyard, even out of the courtyard, if he has chametz, he'll be liable. So you see, that's their same machlekes. Does al mean you need to have besamach or not? Why do they have to have the machlekes in both places? Says the Gemara Tzricha, it's necessary. Had we only had their machlekes and pesachim regarding chametz, maybe by he come Rabbi Yechon, maybe over there Rabbi Yechon, it says that even though it's not with him in the courtyard, because the chalhecha de ise, wherever the person has the chametz after the time when one was supposed to already get rid of the chametz, be surkai, it's considered a prohibition, and therefore no matter where it is, a person will be violating the sister. Avla in mekadesh lechem, but regarding the context of our Mishnah regarding the breads of the Karban Taidah, where it's not sanctified only during the slaughtering of the Karban Taidah, I would say maybe he agrees to Rish Lakish, that's not going to be sanctified until he has the bread with him in the Azar. If it's with, inside the Azar, with the Taidah, then it'll be sanctified. Avroi like Kaddish, but on the outside it will not be sanctified. That's why it's necessary to say the Machlek is here. Now, Vietnam Baha, had we only had over here by the Lachmi Taida, Baha come Rish Lakish. Maybe over here Rish Lakish said that since it's regarding the sanctifying of the bread, which is happening because of the Karban Taida, so that's where al means it has to be nearby to the Taida. Abahach, but regarding the Chametz on the 14th of Nisan, wherever you have the Chametz, you're violating the Isser. Eimen Moidler Rabbi Yechon, maybe I would say that there he agrees to Rabbi Yechon, that even though the Chametz is not with him in Zara, still he'd be violating that Isser. Tzricha, that's why it's necessary to say the machlekes in both places, to say that they disagree in both contexts. Now, says the Gemara, Tanika Vaseid Rabbi Yechon, we have a Braisa that supports the way Rabbi Yechon says it in his machlekes over here regarding our Mishnah. The Braisa says, HaShecher es HaToydu Lefnim. Someone slaughters the Karban Toydu inside where it's supposed to be Nazar. But Velachma, and specifically, as we see like Rabbi Yechonon, is Chutz L'Chemes Beis Pagi. It's only problematic if it's out of the wall outside of Yerushalayim. Then, like Kiddush Alechem, that's not going to sanctify the bread. That's like Rabbi Yechon's interpretation, which sounds like, but in Yerushalayim itself, it would be sanctified, not like Rish Lakish. Now, the Mishnah had said, Shechata Achle Karmu Paneh B'tanuf. Let's say the Toydah was slaughtered before the bread had a chance to become hardened, baked on the outside. Then it's still considered dough. It's not going to sanctify the bread then. Says the Gemara Menon, where do we know this from? The Tanur Bana, we learn the Braisa, which the Braisa expounds the Pasuk, which was what we were quoting all along of a Yukar Zayin Pasuk Yid Gimel, which says Al Chalos Lechem Chametz, on loaves of bread that are leavened, Yakrav Karbana, he should sacrifice his carbon. Al Zevach Toyd Shlamav, on his carbon Toyda, that's his Shlam. So he expounds the words Al Chalos Lechem Chametz Yakrav Karbana. It says on the loaves of bread of Chametz he should bring his carbon. Al Zevach, on the carbon. Now, Malamed, this teaches she'en ha'lechem kaddish elim kin karma p'ne betana. The bread's only become sanctified if the outside had already become hardened, meaning to say, because what does the pasuk tell us? The pasuk says that it has to be chalas. Now, at that time, when it's not hard on the outside, yet it's not considered chalas, and the pasuk says, al chalas lechem. That's how we know it's only become sanctified with the slaughtering the carbon if it's hard on the outside. Now, it continues expounding the pasuk, the time of the braisa. It says, yakrav karbane al zevach, where the syntax is changed according to the midrashic interpretation of the pasuk, he'll bring his carbon on his zevach. What does this say? Malamed she'en alechem kaddish, which at the beginning of the pasuk is talking about his carbon of the breads, are not going to be sanctified, ele b'shchitas ha-zevach. That says al zevach, only with the slaughtering of the carbon. As we mentioned that halacha in the Mishnah too, that it's contingent on the slaughtering of the carbon. Moreover, the pasuk says, zevach toidas, where it says, al zevach toidish lamav. So if you read just the word zevach toidas, melamed this teaches, Shem Shachat Shalei Lishman, if the carbon tied was slaughtered not for its namesake, let's say to be some other carbon, like something that's a different carbon, then like Kiddush Alechem, then it's not going to sanctify the breads, because that's how you understand the word Zevach Tayyidish Lamov, that meaning Yaakov Chalas Karbon, that you'll bring the Chalas of your carbon, al Zevach, that was slaughtered to be a Tayyidah. And if it wasn't, then it's not going to be sanctified as the breads of the carbon Tayyidah. Now, continuing on these halachas, turn about and the Braisa. Yetzin b'matzah, one fulfills his obligation on Pesach of matzah, of eating the unleavened bread, even if it's na, even if it wasn't baked so well, baked halfway. And also, b'matzah asui b'ilpas, matzah that was baked in the pan, that's also going to be valid for the matzah on Pesach. Now, the Gemara qualifies my matzah, no, what is this half-baked matzah? So I'm Rebbe Yehuda Mishmul. It means kol shem parsa, means whoever breaks the matzah, vein chutin nimshach nimenu, and you don't have strands that are pulled out from it, meaning it's baked a little bit because it was doughy, then you'd be pulling out strands. If strands don't come out, then that's already considered enough baked, even though it's half baked, to be considered valid for the matzah on Pesach. Now, Amar Rava, he says, coming back to the context of our parak, the same thing goes for the breads or the carbon taida, which also you have to have the three types are matzah. That what's considered matzah that's valid is only, even if it's half baked, but that you're going to pull, it's not going to have strands coming out. So the Gemara's Peshitta, obviously. Hacha lechem ksiv, hacha lechem ksiv. They both say the word lechem, and we're going to compare the halachas. Obviously, just like over there, it'd be matzah. So to over here, in the Taita, it's going to be matzah. What is Rabbi teaching us? Says the Gemara, no. Ma detem, what would you say that here actually would be more stringent? Because echadam rachman, the Torah tells us when you have to give one out of every type, which is one out of every 10 to the kain, it says one. Which is, the drasha always tells us, shalayitul paris, that you're not allowed to give a broken piece to the kain. Now, but vahal kamanda prisadam, but you would say in this half-baked matzah, it's like it's broken. Because since it's not baked so well, it crumbles by itself, because it's like still doughy. So therefore you would think that it would be puzzle specifically over here in the context of the Taida. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi's teaching, that no, it's the same halacha, and that it's going to be valid for the matzah of the lachmei Taida. Now, continuing on this topic of our halacha, of the breads of the Taida, itma, we learned as follows. Taida sheshachata al shmeinim chalas. The carbon Taida, which is supposed to be slaughtered with 40 types of loaves, 10 chametz, 30 matzah, 3 types of the types of matzah. Let's say someone slaughtered with the intention of sanctifying 80 loaves of bread for the carbon Taida. So as a machlekes, Chizki Yami says, Kitru abar mitoich shmeinim, 40 out of the 80 become sanctified as is required by the carbon Taida. Rabbi Yechonami says, no, loy kitru abar mitoich shmeinim, no, 40 of the 80 are not sanctified. Now, Amrab Zeir, he qualifies the machlekes, and he says, Hakol maidim, everyone agrees. Where he says, I want 40 out of the 80, meaning he's separating 80. But he says, I want 40 of the 80 to be sanctified, so then kitru. So then it's going to sanctify 40 out of the 80, and because he's saying he only wants 40 out of the 80, which is appropriate. Now, actually, all 80 will have to be eaten with the sanctity of a carbon taida for one day or one night, because we don't know which 40. But it's going to be sanctified because only 40 out of the 80 are becoming the lachmei taida. Let's say he says, Al yikatru arbam, elam ken yikatru shmeinim. No, I don't want 40 to be sanctified unless all 80 will be sanctified. Then, says Reb Zeira, everyone would agree, loy kitru. Then none of them would be sanctified because you cannot sanctify 80 because it only requires 40. And actually the person has not fulfilled his vow because actually no sanctity will take effect on any one of those loaves. Says Reb Zeira, ki pligi bistama. When do they disagree? When he doesn't say anything. He just says, I'm separating 80. What's their machlekes? Mar Chizkiya Saver, he held that this, that the person saying, I'm designating 80, is lachrayis kamachavan. His intention is just for insurance. Meaning to say, if 40 get lost, don't worry, I still have another 40 to take its place. But his whole intention was really only for 40, and therefore 40 of the 80 will take effect and will be sanctified. But Amar Saver, lekarbon gadol kamachavan, Rabbi Yechon held that no, his intention is for a large carbon. He wanted to bring 80 loaves as the carbon. Now that's not possible, so therefore it's not going to take effect at all, any of the sanctity, and he has not fulfilled his obligation according to Rabbi Yechon. That's one interpretation. Abayama, he says, no. The kuliyama that everyone holds, as according to the girsa of Rashi, is that the next word should say, not lachreis, but lekarbon gadol kamachavan. Everyone agrees that his intention is to bring a large carbon. Yeah, he wants to bring 80 loaves. Now, so therefore, as we said, therefore none of them should be sanctified, because if he wants 80, 80 is not a valid carbon. Now, so what's the machlekes? Why does Chizki say that 40 will be sanctified? Because ubeklisharis mikachin shaloi midas komiflagi, they're disagreeing regarding does a service vessel sanctify even without the intention, without the knowledge of its owner. And that is Mar Chizkiyas Saver, he held klisharis mikachin, a service vessel will sanctify that which is appropriate for it. even Shalem Das, even without the intention of the owner. So here, 40 is appropriate. So even though his Das is 80 and that's not going to be effective, but even without his Das, 40 will take effect. But Amar, Rabbi Yochanan held that no, that Savar, he held Kli Sharis, a service vessel, which in this case is actually the knife, which is actually what is what generally sanctifies the loaves of bread when it's slaughtering the carbon taida, Ein Mekachin Shleim Das will not sanctify without the intention of the person. It only works with the intention of the person, even what's appropriate for the carbon. Now, in this case, since the intention of the person is on 80, therefore none of them will be sanctified because 80 carbon gadol doesn't work. Another interpretation of Papa Ame says, no, the Kulei Alma Klei Sharis Mekachin Shleim Das. Now, everyone agrees that really a service vessel could sanctify even without the intention of the owner. That's the case. So why should Yechanan hold that it's not going to be sanctified at all? Because v'hach b'sakin k'mefugi. Here the machlik is regarding specifically a knife. Mar chizkis aver sakin mekadeshes kiklisharis. Yeah, a knife sanctifies just like all other service vessels. Just like other service vessels were saying, everyone agrees it sanctifies shalei midas. So to the knife over here, when it's slaughtering the karmen taido, will sanctify the breads, even shalei midas of the owner, which is 40 out of the 80. But Amar Sava, but Rabbi Yechon held that no, Sakin, regarding a knife, Kim the Lesley Teich, there's no receptacle to a knife, there's no inner part of it. So in the Mekadesh is Kikli Sharetz, it's not going to be like a regular service vessel that sanctifies whatever's inside of it, and therefore it's not going to sanctify Shalei Midas to the Baalim, and that's why none of them are going to be sanctified, because as we're saying, it's not as valuable as a regular Kikli Sharetz to sanctify Shalei Midas. Now, Megadami, those that say that no, that actually Rapapa Amar, he said, the Kuliyam, everyone agrees, Kli Sharis ain't Mekach Neilam Adas. No, actually, a service vessel cannot sanctify without the intention of the owner. Now, so if that's the case, so what's the understanding of Chizkiya? How does he hold that it's going to be sanctified? Because Vahacha B'Sakin K'miflagi, here the Machlikis is specifically regarding a knife, but the opposite direction. Mar Savar Sakin Alim Mekli Sharis. Chizkiya held that a knife is actually stronger than the service vessel. Why? Because we find the Avagav the Lesley Tech Mekacha. Even though there's no inner part of the knife, it's a flat thing, still it sanctifies the carbon that it's slaughtering. So therefore we find that it's stronger, so it's going to be even stronger that it could sanctify even Shalei Midas. So it's actually better than the regular Kli Sharetz. But Amar Sav Rabbi Yochanan that no, Sakin lo yalim alim Kli Sharetz, the knife is not better than Kli Sharetz. And since we're saying Kli Sharetz is not Mekadesh Shalei Midas, according to the second version of Papa, so knife is not better, and therefore it's not Mekadesh Shalei Midas, and since his Das is on 80, which is not valid, and it's not Mekadesh Shalei Midas, therefore Rabbi Yochanan held that none of them are going to be sanctified. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the breads of the carbon taida. Says the Mishnah, Shechata, if the carbon taida was slaughtered with the intention of it being eaten, chutz lezmano, out of the time that it's allowed to be eaten, beyond that time, which is the halacha known as pigel, which invalidates the carbon. So in this case, it sanctifies the carbon, and actually, but in a psul, in an invalid way, to make it pigel. So here too, the bread's going to be sanctified, but it's going to become pigel. Let's say he slaughters it with the intention of eating it, b'chutz l'mkayma, to eat it beyond its place where it's allowed to be. Then, there too, kiddush alechem, the bread's going to be sanctified and become invalidated, because the reason why it's becoming sanctified, but being invalidated, in contrast to not being sanctified at all, is because this is what's known as psula b'kodesh. As the Gemara says in Zochem, whatever becomes invalidated through its sanctification, the kodesh would be mekablet, as the Gemara says in Perek Mizbech Mekodesh, like for certain things like Imolo lo yerdu, but goes on top of the Mizbech, it doesn't come down. Here too, Pigul says it's sanctified, but with a psul, with an invalidation. So here too, the bread's going to be sanctified, albeit in a possible way. But let's say shchata benimtzis treifa. Let's say he slaughtered the carbon taida and he finds out that it had a mortal defect. Now that means to say it wasn't a valid shchita because it was a treifa. So then lekidish alechem. Then actually the bread's not going to be sanctified because in this situation the invalidation was already before it was slaughtered. It was already a treifa beforehand, so it wasn't valid. So therefore the bread wasn't sanctified and then but becoming invalidated. It was never sanctified in the first place because it wasn't psula by kodesh. Let's say shchata v'nimtzis b'amum. Let's say the animal was slaughtered and it turns out that it had a blemish, which also invalidates it as a carbon. Shrebeliezoi mekidish. He says that the breads will be sanctified. Now, the reason for that is, as the Gemara is going to explain, although it should seemingly be the same as treifa, which is like the other pin, like the chacham, is because the Gemara explains the tumah what's called dukin sheba'ayin, that it has cataracts in the eye, which is going according to Rabbi Kiva, who holds in those situations of all lo yerdu, as the Gemara says, the perikam esbech mekadesh, so Rabbi Eliezer is going like that opinion, therefore it's going to be sanctified, because it is considered something that has a validity regarding kaidish. Now, Chachamim Leik Kiddush, no, they say that no, it's a Balmum, it's not valid, it was even beforehand, and therefore it's not going to be sanctified. The breads are not sanctified. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say Shchata Shalei Lishma. Let's say the animal, the carbon type, was slaughtered not for its namesake. So then the breads are not sanctified, as the Gemara is going to explain, because it says, as we mentioned before, the Pasuk Zevach Taida, which teaches only for slaughtered to be a carbon type, then the breads become sanctified. But if it's slaughtered not for its namesake, then the breads do not become sanctified. And so to this halacha applies not just the carbon taida, but also v'chein el hamiluim, the ram of the milum of the inauguration, as we mentioned on Amud Aleph, v'chein shnei kivsei atzer, so the two lambs of carbon on Shavuos, where they all these two types also come with breads, that shashachat and shalei l'shman, if it's slaughtered not for its namesake, that l'kiddush alechem, also the breads do not become sanctified with it, has to be slaughtered for the namesake, for the breads to be sanctified with it. If not, the breads do not become sanctified. Again, the contrast to the halacha of chutz hazman, chutz mekayim, where it becomes sanctified, albeit becoming pigel or pasul, but in these situations, they do not become sanctified at all.